we get started with today's message. There was a man who was just beginning his time in a monastery, at a monastery, going to be a monk. And this particular monastery, they took a vow of silence. And he was only allowed to say two words every 3 years. Two words every 3 years. And after the first 3 years, he came to the brother superior and he said, "Bad bed." Well, 3 years later, he had another opportunity to speak his two words, and he went to his superior and he says, "Bad food." 3 more years go by, and he goes and he approaches the brother superior, and the monk's two words were, "No TV." Finally, another 3 years go by, and this time the monk appeared in his street clothes with his robes and his sandals in his hands, and he announces, "I quit." And the brother superiors answered, "Well, it's no wonder all you've done is complain since you got here." That was a good story. We've been talking about the life-giving practice of prayer in the Christian's life. And today we want to focus on giving thanks as an important type of prayer that we can offer. So let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for your presence. And we thank you for the privilege of praise and the privilege of worship and the privilege of coming together as your people and offering our thanks to you. Help us to make that a practice in our lives. Not only congregationally, but personally. That we would be thankful people, offering prayers of thanks on a daily basis. Help us, Lord, to learn, to grow, and to mature in this thing called prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's not an easy thing to have a thankful heart, is it? To have a mindset of gratitude. It doesn't automatically come to us to be grateful, to be thankful. You probably know someone who is like the monk and finds something bad about everything. They are the glass half empty person. Maybe you caught yourself at times falling into this pattern of grumbling and complaining, and even turning your prayers into prayers of complaint rather than prayers of thanks. And maybe your repeated prayer is, "Why me, Lord? Why me?" But you know, the Bible is so full of prayers that we could call prayers of thanks. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Colossians chapter 4, and verse 2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "Through him," that is through Jesus, "let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name." Hebrews 13. Psalm 34, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." You know that one? And then Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of his benefits," none of his benefits. "Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Philippians chapter 1 says, I thank my God in all of my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel until now. And finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which we want to focus on, launch from today, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so the Bible says that being thankful and communicating thanks to God is a key to abundant life relationship up our souls and diminishes our relationship with God, discontentedness. And so I'm going to launch this morning, and we're going to concentrate on this verse that's so packed and powerful. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so why is giving thanks in all circumstances God's will for you and for me? Why should expressing our thanks to God be a major part of our prayers? Well, first of all, the reason that we should learn to express our thanks to God in prayer is that it communicates our approach to life. If we want to find out what a person thinks, watch how often they say thank you, either to God or to other people. You will find out that really there's only two basic approaches to life. One is either you recognize that God and other people are the source of everything in your life, or that you, number two, honestly believe that you are the source of everything good in your life. Really only one of two approaches that we can have toward life. Either God is the source of everything good in our lives, and we really stand on the shoulders of other people in our lives, or we truly and honestly believe that we are the source of all the good that comes in our lives. Two approaches to life. And as Christians in America, we will have to fight against an American myth to the day we die. It is the myth of the self-made man or the self-made woman. The American myth says that we are the source of all that is good in our lives. And everything is up to us. That's the American myth. But for you and me as Christians, we have a new approach to life. Amen? The chains of pride and the chains of self-sufficiency have been broken off of our lives. And as the scripture says, the old is gone and the new has come, and that includes a new approach or attitude toward life. And so our view of life as a Christian is in thankfulness, we say God is the source of everything good in our lives. And you and I stand on the shoulders of other people. Now, not unlike many of you, I have in my office a set of three framed diplomas. One is an undergraduate degree, one is a diploma from Vineyard Leadership Institute, one is a recent master's degree diploma. All of them are hanging on a nail on the wall, just one little nail. But really, that's not all that they're hanging on, is it? All of those diplomas are hanging on the goodness of God in my life and the goodness of other people in my life. It's only by God's grace and help that I was able to accomplish anything in regard to education. And many of you can say the very same thing, that it's only by the grace of God that you were able to accomplish anything. And me looking back, I'm thinking, man, it really was only by the grace of God. But it's not only that, but it's only by the help and the sacrifices and the support and the encouragement of parents and my friends, but most importantly, my wife, that I was able to complete any of it. You know, we stand on the goodness of God and on the goodness of other people in our lives. Anything that we accomplish and that's good in our lives comes from God and other people. So let me just turn it around to you. Maybe you're making a lot of money in your career. That's great. Don't forget to thank God for your intelligence. Thank your parents for making educational opportunities happen. Thank your sixth grade teacher for motivating you. I had one. His name was Mr. Whiting. I may not have been doing this if it hadn't been for Mr. Whiting. But if you've done well, thank well. Have you done well in sales? Don't forget to thank the hardworking staff around you, the support people who make your success possible. Being thankful reveals the basic spiritual orientation of your life. Either God is the source or we are the source. And so one way to measure the quality of our relationship with God is to ask, do we pause in our day to say thank you to God? It's a great measuring tool to measure your maturity in Christ. The way that you can tell whether you're growing in your faith is, do you often say thanks to God throughout your days? Do I say to him, I recognize that you, God, are the spirit sources of this blessing that I'm receiving right now. And so looking back on your week, how many times did you pause and say, Lord, thank you? You turn it into a prayer and just say, Lord, thank you. Sometimes it's a difficult thing, isn't it? It's a difficult thing to do. Why is it easy to be like the monk and walk around saying bad food, bad service, bad management, bad government, bad spouse, bad driver? Do we have to go on? Maybe there are some bad drivers. There probably is some bad drivers, right? But what keeps us from communicating thanks to God? Well, it could be that because as Americans, we live with an entitlement mentality. Our perspective is, it's our constitutional right to have all that we have. I'm entitled to all the blessings that I enjoy. I deserve them. That's always a popular phrase. Well, I deserve it. I deserve this. And none of us would say that we have an entitlement mentality. None of us would. We all would deny quickly that we possess an entitlement mentality. But it easily rises to the surface when things go wrong in our lives. Right? If we get sick, our first response is, what did I do to deserve this, God? Right? Why, God? Why did you allow this heart problem? Why this debilitating arthritis? Why this accident? Why did the washer and dryer quit working? Right? Why? Why, God, are these bad things happening in my life? I don't deserve these bad things. I only deserve what? Good things. in my life. And so we in America, we have this overinflated belief that we're entitled to only good. Only good. Everything should go well for us. That's the way it's supposed to work. And I've heard these phrases even said to me, you know, that's not the way this is supposed to work. That's not the way it's supposed to work. You don't hear very many people stopping and asking, why am I not in pain right now? Right? Why did my car work this morning? Why do I have friends considering how I act? Right? Nobody's asking those kinds of questions. Why did I enjoy a nice breakfast today? We don't ask those kinds of questions. In our minds, we think, of course we should have great food, healthy children, nice house, hot shower. But when our car battery's dead, we immediately stop and we say, hey, what's going on here? Something's wrong. Let me just say this. I will get the good news. Our happy circumstances are not guarantees. Nothing has to be a certain way. Our happy circumstances are gifts from God. Right? The psalmist recognized this. He recognized the truth that nothing has to be. In Psalm 124, listen to the words of the psalmist. In Psalm 124, it's a short psalm. You can easily read it in less than 20 seconds. If the Lord had not been our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive, the flood would have engulfed us, the torrent would have swept over us, the raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And we need to do what the psalmist suggests. We need to look back and see where God was present in our lives. Look back and think about the time that God intervened and rescued you. Look back and think about the path that you were on and you were met by God's grace and He turned your life completely around. Look back and see how He turned things around maybe in your marriage or see how He arranged for you to get the job over more qualified applicants. And somehow you got the job. Our prayer of thanks ought to be, if God had not been there, I might not be alive today. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever said that? God, if you hadn't been there that time in my life, I would not be where I am today. I would not be alive. It's the problem of entitlement that keeps us from offering prayers of thanks. But there's another thing that keeps us from offering up to God prayers of thanks, and it's the factor of greed. We have a hard time saying thank you to God because instead of enjoying the blessings that we have now, we want more than God is currently giving. Hello? You with me? In other words, what we have is not enough. Sometimes we act like children at Christmas time. we look, after we've ripped through all the presents and all the papers everywhere, we look up and we say, is that it? Is that all I get? I didn't get the Xbox 360. Right? I didn't get my iPhone 660 or whatever it is now, right? Greed is the internal attitude that says, whatever I have from God is not enough. Let me just say that again. Greed is this internal attitude that says, whatever I have from God is not enough. And you know, the entire marketing industry encourages you and me to be greedy. And their message is, you don't have enough, you need more. You don't have enough, you need more. And so what that does is it produces greed, more greed. It enhances greed in our lives to the point where we begin to say, I can't say thanks for the husband that I have because he's not spiritual enough. He's not my spiritual leader. I can't say thanks for the husband that I do have because he's not affectionate enough. He's not a great conversationalist. He doesn't listen to me enough. He doesn't understand my feelings. Wah, wah, wah. I can't say thank you, God, for the wife that I have. You knew that was coming. Instead, I grumble because she's not my ideal of beauty. She's not supportive enough. She's not sexual enough. She's not a good enough cook. Yes, I have a job, but it's not really what I like. We have a house, but it's not fixed up enough. We have clothes, but they aren't fashionable enough. Not enough, not enough, not enough. It's the problem of greed that keeps us from offering up prayers of thanks to God. It's the problem of entitlement, and it's the problem of greed. Greed kills thankfulness. But there's another thing that kills it. Forgetfulness. If you recall the psalmist, we said that the psalmist says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Sometimes we're just too busy enjoying all the blessings God gives to us. We're out enjoying our hobbies, enjoying our health, enjoying our friends, and we're too busy to pause and say thank you because we're just enjoying it, right? Let me ask, have you ever thanked God for your body? I know that's a loaded question. Have you ever thanked God that your heart is beating? That your organs work? That your hands and legs move? Because there's some people that their hands and legs don't move. Do you ever thank God for giving you a clear mind? Thanking him for the education that you've received when so many in our country and in our world cannot even read? Can't read? Do you ever thank God for the spiritual gifts that God has given you, the gift of the church that instructs you? Or how about thanking him for the gift of his word, the gift of the Bible, right? When other parts of the world, there's one Bible for an entire church. In fact, in some parts of the world, there's one Bible for an entire village of people. One Bible. And you have three or four Bibles laying around in your house. Probably some Bibles you don't even know where they are. They're on a shelf. They're underneath the coffee table. Have you ever thanked God for the Word of God? Do you ever thank God for Christian friends when they call you and pray for you? Family members who love you? parents who are alive and healthy. Thanksgiving is something we get to do. We get to do it. We get to offer prayers of thanks. And so Thanksgiving is this gift that not only you give to God and you give to other people, but, you know, Thanksgiving, offering prayers of thanks, it's a gift to yourself. You know, when you give thanks to God, you are doing something good for yourself. Because to be a thankful person to God, it pulls you out of this orbit of self-absorption, which we're just circling around and self-absorbed and just caught up in ourselves. And so offering God prayers of thanks allows you to escape the gravitational pull of yourself, which says it's all about me and what I need and what I want, which is not enough. And it also frees us from these so many destructive habits in our lives. For example, you'll love this one. The habit of gossip and unholy speech. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4 says, "Nor should there be any obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." What's supposed to be in place of obscenities, foolish talking, coarse joking? God's word says in the place of those things ought to be thanksgiving, where we begin to thank God and thank people. And so by putting prayers of thanks into your prayer life, you're actually giving this gift to yourself. You're helping yourself do damage control in your life. Think of it that way. All right? Because the most destructive tool that we have is our mouths, right? That's the most destructive tool that we have at our disposal is our mouths. Everybody's got one. And so if you struggle with vulgarity or your vocabulary contains this whole list of obscenities or profanity, or you just grumble and you complain and you know, start practicing thanksgiving in your car alone. Let's put it that way. Start alone. We always, you probably say something similar. We always have this joke. You can get anywhere in Logansport in 10 minutes, right? Anywhere in town, you can get to, you know, in 10 minutes. And so when you're driving across town by yourself in your car, take those 10 minutes to thank God for his gifts and his blessings in your life. Capitalize on the moments that you have alone with God and thank him for some recent help that he's helped you with. Some gift in your life. Amen? It's a cure. Prayers of thanks are a cure for some very destructive habits in our life. And offering thanks to God cures anxiety. Anybody get anxious? Okay. Have you ever wondered why you don't feel better about something after you pray? Why don't your prayers help you with your anxiety? Anybody ever wonder that? Boy, I prayed. I'm so worried about this thing, right? You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition," which is just a request, "with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, prayer without thanksgiving is like ice milk. Anybody remember ice milk? How many over 40 remember ice milk? You remember it? My grandma used to buy ice milk we go over to spend a weekend with my cousin and I. We go over to grandma's house, and they stock up the refrigerator. They buy all this food, you know, French fries and all that good stuff. And she'd buy ice milk. Eating ice milk is such a disappointing experience. It is. It really is. It's like ice cream, but it's really not. It's really not ice cream. You know. I got a point to this. When you're praying about something in your life, a troubling circumstance, maybe a big need that you have, include thanks in the request. Include thanksgiving in the request that you have with God. Otherwise, it's going to be a less than desirable experience for you. You understand? And here's why. When you give thanks, you remember all the good that God has done in your past. Right? You remember and you recall that God loves you. And when you start thanking God, you will start remembering that your prayers in the past have been answered. Right? And well, how does this reduce anxiety? Well, because you think to yourself, if God has answered my prayers in the past, you with me? Then I can trust that God will answer these prayers that I have right now. It can really alleviate some anxiety in your life. But there's something even more. When you give thanks to the Lord, you're not only thanking God for what He has done, you are thanking God for who He is. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His love endures forever. He is what? He's good. So we don't need to worry because we're talking to someone who's good. Who's good. And so it can alleviate this prayer, offering prayers of thanks to God. And somehow making this a part of our lives on a daily basis. Thank you, God, for my wife. Thank you, God, for helping me in this matter. Thank you, God, for giving me the wisdom to figure out this problem at work. Thank you, God, for giving me the endurance to go through this day today because it was really stressful. Thank you, God, that I have a beautiful family. Thank you, God, that I have children that are healthy. Thank you, God, that I have a wonderful grandson that loves me so much. Thank you, God, that when we do those things, it alleviates worry in our lives. We're talking to somebody who's good. Amen? Well, let me see if I can land this plane. If thankfulness doesn't come naturally to self-centered people who believe that they're entitled to only the good things in life, if thankfulness doesn't come naturally to people who, like us, are greedy and who never feel like there's enough, we have enough, if thankfulness doesn't come naturally to forgetful Americans who don't stop long enough to count their blessings, how can we begin to offer prayers of thanks? How can we do it? What are the steps that we can take? Well, like anything, offering prayers of thanks is something that we have to practice. We have to practice that. It's like learning how to play the piano. I mean, Andrea just didn't one day decide that she's going to walk up to the piano and start playing. It takes years and years of practice. It's like throwing a baseball. You have to learn, you have to practice to, you know, how to throw a baseball, or making layups, or learning a foreign language. You have to practice over and over and over and over again. I know it doesn't sound like much fun, right? But this is the only way to fold in this habit of offering thanks to God, is to practice it. So here's one way. Here's a couple of ways this morning, and we'll pray. How about writing a note of thanksgiving to God? Buy a cheap notepad. And instead of verbalizing your prayers, because some people have a difficult time doing that, instead of verbalizing thanks to God, write out what you're thankful for to God. Just write it out. Just bullet point it. Just say, I thank you, God, for dot, dot, dot. And just start writing. Writing your prayers is a great way to set yourself free from grumbling and having a critical spirit. I know some people do this religiously. They have developed a habit of, some people have stacks and stacks of journals where they've just written out their prayers to God and thanked Him for certain things. There's something about seeing for yourself all the many ways that God has blessed your life. If you're a visual person and you need to see how God has blessed you in your life, write it out. Write it out. Does that help you? Does that help? Write it out. And so that's just one way that we can begin to offer prayers of thanks. The second way is this. Let me finish with this. Make your Sunday experience here count. Make it count. You know, when we gather to worship here, it's an exercise in offering thanks to God. The songs that we sing, even this morning, are mostly prayers, aren't they? They're expressions of thanks to God. They're meant to deepen your relationship with Jesus. And so these 30 minutes that we have are an opportunity for you and I to lift up our heads, to lift up our hearts, to lift up our hands to God, and to say thank you. And so with our voices raised up in song, you can offer to Him individually, and even join with others together with you, offer Him a prayer of thanks. It's a wonderful opportunity to do that. Now, let me just say this. One of the things that you don't have to worry about is somebody thinking ill of you or becoming embarrassed for you during worship. Okay? It's doubtful that they are thinking, oh, look at them. They're crying tears of thanks. Poor things. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's thinking that. Boy, they're raising their hands and thanking God for His presence and His grace and His activity in their lives. Man, that's terrible. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's thinking that. Right? Nobody is holding you in contempt for expressing yourself in worship and offering your thanks to God. Nobody's here offering contempt. Right? So let me just let that free you to make your worship count. Make it count. Give Him your all. Give Him your thanks. Give Him your worship. Give Him your praise. However you want to do it. Raise your hands, bow down, clap, dance. Doesn't matter. Because nobody here, God's not holding you in contempt. Nobody else is holding you in contempt. And so it's a great way to begin to put it into practice in our lives, is to make our experience count. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank You. And forgive us because we don't say that enough. We don't thank You enough. And it's sad. It's really pathetic And it's really embarrassing to even say it. We're more apt to say bad food, bad person, bad service. And we need your help. Because it just doesn't come easy for us. And there's a lot to fight against. But by your Holy Spirit, you can help us to overcome. And to live who you really want us to be, and as a thankful person. And so I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you'd come and fill us with gratitude and thanks. Us to look up and to look around and see all the benefits that you've given to us and bestowed on us. Help us to see the gifts that we have and the blessings that we have. Yeah. Help us to move to a place, a new place where we're unashamed to say thank you, God. Some of you, have had this revelation that you are the grumbling monk. And you hate that about yourself. And you want God to change you so you can begin to offer prayers of thanks. If you find yourself in that place, I just invite you to stand right where you're at. You just had this oh no moment. Oh man, I'm the monk. I'm the grumbling. No one's going to think bad of you for standing. It's a self-revelation that you made. It's like God is like, "Whoa. I want to change this about me." Just invite you to stand right where you're at. I'll stand with you. I'm inclined, like many of you, to say bad food. Bad bed. Who would have the courage to stand? Say, God, change me. I want to be thankful. I'm standing here with you. I'll stand with you. Yeah. I'll stand. Yeah. We're standing with you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Move us, God, to a place where that's always on our lips. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Help those who stood, God, just by your Holy Spirit, God, turn things around for them and help them to begin to thank you more. All of us, God, we pray that you turn our hearts around in this way. In this matter, God, of praying with thanks. offering prayers of thanks. Thank you for your goodness today. Thank you for these people. Thank you that you've joined our hearts together. Thank you that this is home for us. Thank you that you're faithful in your presence every week to come and minister to our lives and speak to us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power and your Holy Spirit as a gift to us, who helps us to change when we can't change on our own. Thank you for your sacrificial, generous, lavishing love for us. Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Go out today with a new approach, a new attitude, praying with thanks. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.